Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm going to be preaching on that second reading there from Galatians 6, and mostly on those first five verses, focusing on those first five verses. But before I go into that, I just want to make a quick note on verse 6. Verse 6 says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. And I'm reminded of my first Halloween here as pastor at St. Peter's. And I was at a Halloween party with a number of families and walking down the street. And I was talking to one of the kids in the church. And I had him pull out my phone, pull out my Bible app, and had him read that verse. And he read it. He said, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. And I said, do you know what that means? And he says, no. And I said, it means I get half of your candy. it didn't happen, though. He didn't give me his candy. Anyway, in 1986, a game came out on Nintendo that I'm assuming some of you are familiar with, though this maybe is not the crowd that would have been playing it. But the game was called The Legend of Zelda. Some of you remember that, I'm sure, and there have been many spin-offs from it ever since. And the truth is, I didn't play that game very much. I was kind of a Tecmo Super Bowl fan personally, but I did play it occasionally, and there was a scene in it that I was reminded of recently. There's a scene when the main character, Link, walks into a room and meets an elderly gentleman, and the man says, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. And then he gives him a sword. And we could probably draw some parallels about, you know, taking the word of God with us wherever we go. It's dangerous to go alone, and we should take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, as St. Paul says in Ephesians 6. But today we're talking about Galatians 6. But we still have these words, it's dangerous to go alone. That's the message of Zelda. It's also the message of the Scriptures. It's in many ways the message of the church and the beauty of this gift God has given to us called the church, the body of Christ. But often in life, we want to go at it alone. We think we can do it all on our own. We think we don't need others. And I'll admit something. I'll admit that I love community. I love the opportunity to be in community, to be in fellowship with other people, even though I'm pretty bad at small talk most of the time. But I love being in community. I get refreshed, and I crave time with other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm terrible at asking for help when it comes to work that needs to get done or projects that need to get done. I always think I can go at it alone. I always think that I don't need help. Even when I know that I really do need help, I'm too stubborn or prideful to, you know, get the help that I need. But we often, I'm sure many of us, think that it's easier to do it ourselves, to go at it alone. But the truth is, most of the time, it really isn't. It really isn't. So if you're like me, I want you to know that it's okay to get help. And that goes for lots of things, not simply for work that needs to get done, but it's okay to get help, whether that's physically, vocationally, mentally, spiritually, it's okay to get help. But we weren't meant to go at it alone. This is why one of the first things that God says as he made his good creation was, it's not good that man should be alone. We're created for community. We're created for koinonia, communion, life together, and it's dangerous to go alone. Now, our passage today from Galatians 6 tells us specifically about what part of life we shouldn't go at alone. Of course, the Scriptures talk about the blessing of the body of Christ and the oneness that we share as the body, bringing a variety of gifts, but united in one spirit, one baptism. As 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, there should be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And that is my prayer for this body here at St. Peter's and for the body of Christ everywhere, that we would walk together, that we would be one. But our reading today from Galatians 6 has a more specific area in which we should walk together. Not simply going through life together, helping each other, laughing and crying with each other, but specifically, St. Paul tells us here in Galatians 6 to bear each other's burdens. And by burdens here, he is talking about sin and the struggles that we have with sin. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We all carry this burden called sin, and because of our weakness, we fall into sin regularly. We fall into temptation regularly. And when we fall into temptation, when we struggle with sin, our Lord has not only given us his word that promises forgiveness and life in the midst of our sin, but he has given his word a community to speak it. He's given his word a community to speak it. He has given us brothers and sisters in Christ that walk with us and are ready to restore us by speaking into our ears the word of Christ for you. Your sins are forgiven. And this, St. Paul says, is the law of Christ. That is, that we love one another, that we bear one another's burdens, that we speak forgiveness and grace to one another. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says in John chapter 13, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We have been redeemed and renewed in Christ, and we are called to love one another and to bear each other's burdens. Now, I don't want us to get too confused here and think that I'm suggesting that we simply water down sin, preach love, and call it good. No, that's not what I'm suggesting. That's not what the Bible teaches. There's a balance here of law and gospel. So let me explain a little bit. When people refuse to repent of their sin, when they deny Christ, or they deny that they have a problem, while they certainly need our love and our care, they don't need our restoration, at least not yet. They do need our restoration, but not yet. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the law. And I say that as a fellow sinner who often needs to hear the law. They need to hear the law the way that King David heard that law from Nathan preached to him when he was confronted with his sins and heard those words, "You are the man. You are the one who has done this heinous sin." We preach the law in all of its sternness to those who are comfortable in their sins and do not desire to repent. And we sinners here in this place, need to hear the law in all of its sternness as well, so that we might recognize our sin and be brought to repentance, not simply thinking that we are something when we are nothing, as Paul said in Galatians 6. By that, Paul meant that we're not to be deceived by our own holiness and wisdom and think that we're better than others, as if we have no sin. We're not to think that the law is for those people out there, but not for us in here, which unfortunately is the mindset of the Christian church far too often. Rather, we're to let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. What does that mean? It might sound like it's contrary to what he said a moment ago when he said that we're to bear each other's burdens. Well, when he says here that we're to test our own work, that our reason to boast will be in ourself alone and not in our neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load, what he means is that our holiness is not determined by the holiness or unholiness, the sinfulness of our neighbor. God's not grading on a curve when he looks at us. We can't say, at least we're not as big of a sinner as, you know, Billy Bob or Peggy Sue or whoever it might be. When we test our own works, when we examine ourselves, our thoughts, words, and deeds, we find that we're sinners. We no longer boast in being better than someone else in righteousness, but we recognize that we're sinners that need help, that need grace, that need to be restored just as much as they do. But as fellow Christians, those who are struggling with sin, not living lives of impenitence, not desiring to continue in our sins, but struggling with sin, falling into sin because of the weakness of our flesh, well, we don't need more law poured on us. We need to hear the good news of the gospel. So let me kind of clarify that a little bit once again. So the law that is the commands of God that demand that we do away with sin and turn to righteousness, the law of God, the message that you are a sinner and you deserve damnation, that law is preached in all of its sternness to those who are, well, comfortable in their sin, even though often we need to hear it too. But it's preached in all of its sternness to those who are comfortable in their sins. But the gospel is preached to those who are broken and contrite, struggling with sin. So we need to hear the good news of the gospel. We need to be restored. We need to hear Christ and Him crucified for our sins. We need to hear that as we carry this heavy load of sin around, weighed down by it, tormented by it, wrestling daily with it, we need to hear that Christ has already taken that load. He has already carried our burdens. We need to hear that there is only one man who is holy and without sin, and His name is Jesus. And He has taken our sin upon Himself. They were nailed to the cross with Him. He carried our burdens to the grave so that we can have forgiveness and life, so that we could be free from that burden, that bondage, and nothing can take away the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus doesn't say, carry this burden and this burden that you cannot handle and cannot overcome. Rather, Jesus told the Pharisees, you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus has taken our burden of sin and given us restoration, given us forgiveness of all of our sins. And now we, as the body of Christ, we, brothers and sisters in Christ, now that we've received this gift of freedom, this weight that has been lifted off of us in Christ Jesus, now we are able to carry each other's burdens, to help others with that weight, to help others with those sins that are weighing them down. Again, we don't help as if we don't have any sins of our own, but we help as those who know the one who carries them for all of us. And together, knowing the one who carries all of our burdens, we can carry each other's burdens. We weren't made to go at it alone. It's dangerous alone. The devil and his lies will drive you from the truth of God's love in Christ, drive you from the truth of His forgiveness when you go at it alone. But we were meant for community. We were meant for each other. We were meant to confess our sins to one another and speak words of forgiveness to one another. We were meant to hold each other accountable and restore each other gently. We were meant to walk together. We weren't meant to say, not my problem, and wash our hands clean, or am I my brother's keeper? But rather, we were meant to encourage one another as we struggle with sin, rebuking when necessary, speaking restoration and forgiveness in Christ, walking in love and carrying each other. We are stronger together. The church, brothers and sisters in Christ, the church, this is a gift from God. I know it may not always feel that way, but it's true. We often let our sinfulness get in the way of being the church that we're called to be. But what a blessing that our Lord has given to us, that we can bear each other's burdens. We can walk with each other through difficult times. We can recognize that we're not the only struggling sinner, but we can identify with others and hold each other up, encourage each other, hold each other accountable. Rather than increasing each other's burdens like our sinful nature is prone to do, we carry each other's burdens, restoring each other, reminding each other regularly of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't go at it alone. It's dangerous out there. Go with God, and God calls you to go with his people, this family that he has given to you, not by blood, but by faith. By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. For it's not good that man should be alone. Help each other. Call on each other. Speak words of truth and words of forgiveness to each other. Carry each other's burdens, knowing that Christ has borne and carried all of ours and has given us forgiveness in life. Amen.